Good morning. It is 10:01, May 14th, 2026. I call this regular meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, joined by Commissioner Sherry Haugen-Hoffert. And my only opening comment is, so we do have a quorum. I'll get to opening comments. Why don't we first, if you ever want to stand and join me in pledging our allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sorry.
So we do have one absence today, despite the fact that we do, as I said, have a quorum. Commissioner Kringstad is absent, and so sad to announce that her father, Todd, passed away. And I got the opportunity to know and work with Todd before I knew Jill. And just a wonderful man, a wonderful family. And I think on behalf of the commission, I want to just wish condolences to Jill and her siblings and her mother, Shelley, and all of the extended family. Todd didn't live a long life, but he sure left a mark on the community and the state, and is certainly going to be missed. So condolences to the family. Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert.
Well said, Randy. Todd was truly a servant leader to many people, and not only in the professional world, but through his volunteerism. I heard someone call him a great mentor the other day. So our condolences to our fellow commissioner and Shelley and the staff and his dear, dear friends. I'm just going to pause for a moment. I don't want to take away from the condolences and then go right into good news. It's a hard transition. But I do want to share that last week PHMSA was here for our annual audit. And what they do at an annual audit is review annual progress report documentation, pipeline program procedures and records, and they also do an on-site pipeline operator inspection. And it's like 3 days of review and out in the field. And I am very happy to report for the fourth year in a row, we have received a perfect score. That the progress report review showed a 50 out of 50 possible. And on the program evaluation, 100 out of 100. And I couldn't be more proud of this team. As I said, this is the fourth year in a row. It shows the integrity of our program, the thoroughness of our staff, but also a shout out to those operators too who are working very well 24/7 out there in the field keeping pipelines safe. So Conrad as the director, Caleb as the manager, Lakin and Brandon as the staff. We're a small but mighty staff out there. So again, job well done. And to all the other staff who support the pipeline safety program, it just shows that we work very well as a team. So kudos to our gas pipeline safety program.
Okay. Well said. Getting into the agenda then, we have two items on the consent calendar. I move approval of those items plus the previous minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. One absent, not voting.
Okay. I move the commission find the complaint filed by Griggs County Telephone Company on April 17, 2026. States a prima facie case and serve the complaint on the respondent in Griggs County Telephone Company versus CenturyLink Communications, LLC. Complaint case number PU-26-157.
Second.
So on March 26th of last year, of 2025, the commission granted a certificate of public convenience and necessity, and I'm going to refer to that just as a certificate from here on, to Griggs County Telephone, designating Griggs as the incumbent local exchange carrier, or ILEC, in the Leonard and Kindred exchanges. For those that aren't familiar, eastern North Dakota, but not quite as far as Fargo. At the same time, the PSA also designated Griggs as an eligible telecommunications carrier, which basically allows them to offer the Lifeline plan. But in that process, the commission did not transfer CenturyLink's certificates to competitive local exchange carrier. They remained also an incumbent local exchange carrier. Since then, the commission has twice transferred CenturyLink's certificates to competitive local exchange carrier in other territories in very similar cases, and according to Griggs, CenturyLink has taken steps to abandon its operations in the Leonard Exchange. So Griggs has now requested that the commission transfer CenturyLink certificates for the Kindred and Leonard exchanges to competitive local exchange service, like we did in the other ones where the incumbent position was granted to a telco. On August 1st of last year, Quest Corporation filed an application requesting relinquishment of its ETC status for Leonard, and the commission granted that relinquishment. And again, the ETC is separate from these certificates, but that is a sign of what's going on there, perhaps. And the ETC is, again, for Lifeline. The Leonard and Kindred exchanges are the only exchanges in which the commission did not transfer CenturyLink certificate to CLEC status after recognizing a new ILEC. March of 2025 order treated the Kindred and Leonard exchanges as a single matter, and Griggs believes there's no basis for treating the two exchanges differently with respect to this requested transfer. If this motion is approved, the PSC will then serve the complaint on CenturyLink. CenturyLink can then file comments, request a hearing, do both, or do neither. But no matter what, the commission can decide this matter after a hearing or without a hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries, one absent, not voting.
Going to move the commission published notice of the 2026-2027 communications relay service surcharge in the daily newspapers of general circulation in the state of North Dakota and Public Service Commission, telecommunications relay service, miscellaneous case number PU-26-158.
Second.
So on April 21st of 1993, Governor Ed Schaefer approved legislation that established a program to provide specialized telecommunications services and equipment to the communications impaired. The relay services program is funded by an access line surcharge paid by customers throughout North Dakota. The Relay Services Program is administered by the North Dakota Information Technology Department, and before June 1st of each year, the PSC calculates the amount of the surcharge based on cost data and other information provided by ITD. This order sets the 2026-2027 surcharge at 3 cents per line per month, the same as it's been for a long time. So you talk about the people who are really fighting inflation. That's us.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries, one absent, not voting.
Okay, Commissioner Haugenhofer, you want to take your portfolio items?
Thank you. I have one. I move the commission issue a notice of hearing in Montana Dakota Utility Company Wind Farm Station Service, Wishick, North Dakota, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-25-261. Do you want a second?
Second.
Thanks, Randy. A hearing on the application in this case, I'll repeat the case number, PU-25-261, is scheduled for July 14th here at 9 a.m. Central Time in the Commission Hearing Room, 12th floor of the State Capitol. On October 13th, MDU filed an application under North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-03 to extend service to Badger Wind LLC at a location in Section 08 in McIntosh County, North Dakota. On the 19th of November, a protest and request for hearing was received from Chem Electric Cooperative. The issues to be considered in this proceeding are, and I'm going to read all 10 issues so people are clear on what's going to be determined. From whom does the customer prefer electric service? Second, what electric suppliers are operating in the general area? Third, what electric supply line exists within at least 2 mile radius of the location to be served, and when were they constructed? Fourth, what customers are served by electric suppliers within at least a 2 mile radius of the location to be served? Fifth, what are the differences, if any, between the electric suppliers available to serve the area with respect to reliability of service? Sixth, which of the available electric suppliers will be able to serve the location in question more economic and still earn an adequate rate of return on its investment? Seventh, which suppliers extend electric services would best serve orderly and economic development of electric service in the general area? Eighth, would approval of the applications result in wasteful duplication of investment or service? Nine, is it probable that the location in question will be included within the corporate limits of a municipality within a foreseeable future? And 10, will service of either of the electric suppliers in the area unreasonably interfere with the service or system of another? Again, this hearing will be on July 14th at 9 a.m. here in the Commission Hearing Room.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries, one absent, not voting.
That ends my portfolio.
Thank you. And then there are a couple items that Commissioner Kringsted requested move forward from her portfolio because of the strong belief that the commission move forward with things as quickly as is reasonably and legally possible. And these are projects that we have the information we need, so she requested we move forward with them. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusion of law and order in Basin Electric Power Cooperative, Wheelock to Saskatchewan, 230 KV transmission line, citing application case number PU-25-283.
Second.
So on November 4th of 2025, Basin Electric filed a consolidated application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and a route permit concerning approximately 53 miles of single circuit 230 kV electric transmission line and associated facilities in Divide and Williams counties, along with another 58 mile project that we will discuss separately. Hearings on both cases were held March 17th in Crosby and March 20th at Ray. So again, the project in this case will consist of about 53 miles of new 230 kV electric transmission line and associated facilities, including 309 transmission structures, They'll range from 80 to 160 feet tall. The minimum conductor clearance to ground will be 26 feet at all operating conditions. Basin seeks a project corridor that is 125 feet wide, and the total cost of the project is estimated at $81 million. The commission received comments during the public hearings expressing concerns regarding easements, setback distances, and then some other miscellaneous adverse impacts. The issue of easements is actually outside the jurisdiction of the commission, although the most recent update is they have 104 of the 106 easements signed. There are no residents within 500 feet of the Wheelock Saskatchewan line, and the adverse effects have been adequately minimized. The commission has developed criteria to guide the corridor and route suitability for exclusion areas, avoidance areas, selection criteria, and policy criteria. All are being avoided or properly mitigated, according to the testimony we received. The project will be constructed according to the standards of the U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Utility Services, the National Electric Safety Code, the American Society of Civil Engineers, the American Concrete Institute, the American Welding Society, the International Council on Large Electric Systems, the International Electrotechnical Commission, and the National Electric Manufacturers Association. Bet most people didn't even know that there were that many organizations overseeing power lines. Basin has filed a noxious weed management plan. That plan has been submitted to the Divide and Williams County Weed Boards. Basin will implement erosion and sediment control mitigation measures. They will submit the line route to local emergency agencies. And finally, Basin must obtain all other necessary licenses and permits prior to commencing construction. A big thing I want to point out here is, because we often hear, especially in the world of electric transmission and generation, people assume that something is going to cost them on their bill and then place blame for why it's being built on someone else. I will tell you that SPP, the Southwest Power Pool, the regional transmission organization, issued the notice to construct for this line at the request of Sask Power in Canada, who are also transmission members of SPP. Sask Power is paying for this transmission line. Basin is, it's in their territory, so they will build it and be able to use it as well, but Sask Power is paying for it. So that being said, if this motion is approved, Basin's consolidated application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and a route permit will be granted.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries, one absent, not voting.
Okay, and then I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Basin Electric Power Cooperative, Tandy to Saskatchewan, 230 kV transmission line, citing application case number PU-25-284.
Second.
So a lot of this will sound repetitive, but we need to create a record. On November 4th, 2025, Basin Electric filed a consolidated application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and a route permit concerning approximately 58 miles of single circuit 230 kV electric transmission line and associated facilities, this time in Divide, Burke, and Montreal counties, along with the other 53-mile project that we just approved. Hearings were held jointly on March 17th in Crosby and March 20th in Ray. Again, the project will consist of about 58 miles of new 230 kV electric transmission line, including 327 transmission structures. They'll range from 180 to 160 feet tall. The minimum conductor clearance to the ground will be 26 feet in all operating condition. The corridor... they're requesting is 125 feet wide. The total project cost for this one is $97 million. We received comments during the public hearings basically the same topics, concerns about easements, setback distances, and miscellaneous adverse impacts. Again, the issue of easements is outside of our jurisdiction. In this case, the most recent update from Basin is that they have 114 of 117 signed, so a little over 97% on this one, a little over 98% on the other one. Basin testified that setback requirements have been met by either avoiding locations or obtaining a signed easement, and the other adverse impacts have been adequately minimized. I want to go back, though, as far as those easements. And sometimes I've sat on this bench and been maybe harsh on companies. In this case, when you're talking about linear projects of, you know, many miles, you do run into some people who are likely to just say no and would rather go to court and see what kind of a payment they get or something like that. So 100% of easements sometimes is unrealistic. But compared to some other companies, this kind of percentage of voluntary easements is very impressive. And Basin consistently does that. And so bit of a hats off to them on that. The commission has developed criteria guide to guide the corridor and route suitability for exclusion areas, avoidance areas, selection criteria, and policy criteria, four different things. All are being avoided or properly mitigated according to the testimony. The project will be constructed according to the standards, again, of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Rural Utility Services, the National Electric Safety Code, the American Society of Civil and Engineers, the American Concrete Institute, the American Welding Society, the International Council on Large Electric Systems, and the International Electrotechnical Commission, and the National Electric Manufacturers Association. Basin has again filed a noxious weed management plan and submitted to it to, in this case, Burke, Divide, and Montreal County Weed Boards. Basin will implement erosion and sediment control mitigation measures. They will submit the line route to local emergency agencies. And finally, Basin must obtain all other necessary licenses and permits prior to commencing construction. As in the previous case, SPP issued the notice to construct at the request of Sask Power. The cost of this project will be borne by Sask Power. That being said, if the motion is approved, Basin's consolidated application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and a route permit will be granted.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? I guess so we'll ask for a point of clarification as well. Randy, you said the structure heights on this one was 180 to 160. Was it 80 to 60 as in the other case, or is this one different?
In both cases, it is 80 to 160
feet. Okay. I might have misheard. I just wanted to clarify it for the record.
So, I may have misspoke too.
Is there any discussion?
I just want to say that on both of these, the application received by us prior to the hearing was very thorough. It saves a lot of time and questions. And then to have two projects of this magnitude and cost be covered by someone else for the benefits, too, that we're going to receive is good to hear. So I am supportive of both orders.
Yeah, and you remind me of another point. I mentioned what appears to be pretty good work communicating with landowners and getting easements. The other thing I'll say, and you said the application.
Mm-hmm. Came,
and we know in citing applications, a lot of time between the time when we deem them complete and schedule a hearing, there's some updates that come forth or something like that. And so there's a little bit of new information. There are other cases where that becomes voluminous to the point where the people out there probably don't even know what the case is about because they change everything at the last minute. Basin didn't do anything like that. We had a good, thorough application to start with. So good job, Basin, on this case, on these two cases.
Yep.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries, one absent not voting.
Before we offer up to see if there's any press questions, just so I know whether we adjourn or stand in recess, I'm not showing anything on the calendar for an administrative meeting later. Is there any reason to have an administrative meeting? Does anyone have anything to add?
No.
Okay. So then before we adjourn, I'll just do a couple of announcements. On Monday, this coming Monday, May 18th, we have a formal hearing. It is out in Glen Ullin. It starts at 10 a.m. Central Time. The case is PU-2, well, there's two cases combined. There's a wind farm and then an associated transmission line. PU-25-304 is the wind farm, and PU-25-305 is the transmission line. The hearings will be held jointly, and those are in the Glen Ullin City Auditorium. Again, 10 o'clock Central Time this coming Monday, May 18th. And our next commission meeting is Wednesday, May 27th. 10 o'clock as normal, but I'm not guaranteeing that the location is going to be as normal. I hope we can be in here, but with the radiator replacement project going on in the Capitol, that may be when there's loud work going on in here and we may have to find a different location. So watch for updates on that. That concludes the announcements. And with that, after adjournment, we'll offer up to take any questions from the press. But this meeting is adjourned.